Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm still struggling a little bit. During the commercial break, I ate three ghost pepper chips because I'm training for the one chip challenge. I'm training my mouth. Sounds weird, but I am doing exactly that. I'm training my mouth for the one chip challenge, which I'm going to compete with Doug Plagans on that next week. So I don't have the spiciest chip, which is the Carolina Reaper. I've got the ghost pepper chip, which is the second spiciest chip. And I'm still hurting a little bit after that. And I should have had like ice cream or yogurt or something with me. I've got ginger ale to wash it down. So if I sound like I'm about to start weeping, that would be the reason why. So maybe I'll have to have Martin Bader carry it a little bit. He joins us here live in studio. We always like to talk some soccer each and every week with you. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Alex. Always a pleasure to be here, too. And talking about challenges, you just brought back a memory for me. In 2014, I was in Chicago with the U.S. basketball team for a week. It was a Nike thing, and I was there to, like, cover the U.S. basketball team before the World Championships. And it was the Ice Bucket Challenge at the time, remember?
Oh, yes, of course I remember that, yeah.
I remember it was Drummond, Cousins, Steph Curry, and one more player that I think it was Harden. Hmm. They all sat down next to each other, and they were like, okay, we're ready. And I was the one with the bucket.
Oh, look at that you.
Was,
nice.
Yeah, that I was going to drop it on Curry. So you had to see his face after I dropped the ice bucket on him. He was like, this is cold. And his and it was so hilarious. It was on video too. But I mean, and I remember on that team, I saw Curry's potential, but I didn't think Harden would be as good as he is.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, that caught a lot of people off guard. You know, it's funny though. Pro athletes doing ice bucket challenge. I would have thought since these guys take ice baths that they would deal with it better than like normal people.
Oh, no. Curry was like, this is really cold. Like he jumped out of the chair.
Oh, my God. You know, I have to, before we get into some soccer stuff, you cover basketball as well, as you mentioned.
ESPN Deportes.
Yeah, well, what are you making of the Miami Heat so far? They took care of business last night against Phoenix. It's not a great start, but do you think this team has potential to be a playoff team and actually do something?
A playoff team, yes. Actually do something, I don't know. I don't think so, because the Bucks just got better with Eric Bledsoe. Yeah. The Celtics are on an unbelievable run right now, 10 straight. And the Cavaliers are going to recover. So those are three teams. And then we have the Raptors and the Wizards that are always there. So those are five. Do I think that the Heat are at that level right now? No. But it's still early, and we saw what they did last year when they went on that run. But right now, with Whiteside having commitment issues, Waiters, we don't know what the ankle is going to be all about. Mm. And then Dragic is Dragic. He's always going to be there for the team, but I don't see him making a quality leap to where he becomes the crunch time guy like Waiters became at some point. So this Heat team has too many questions and not that many answers right now. But 5-6, they're in a position where like they're okay. 2-2 on this road trip so far on the West Coast. That's not bad. And then they have another swing of road games, including one in Cleveland after they come back home. So I think December will tell us a lot about that team.
Speaking of these other teams in the East, does it excite you the way it excites me to see Kyrie Irving succeeding in Boston the way he is and to see the Cavaliers struggling without Kyrie? I take a lot of joy in that.
I find it very funny that we portray ourselves as a serious journalist and then we have to cover what LeBron meant on Instagram, the instant
with
Kyrie.
With the balled up fist?
Yeah,
like,
the
oh,
mood.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah, Arthur the whatever. I don't know
Arthur
what it
is. Arthur the aardvark.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Kyrie Irving is just altering the NBA landscape in such a way where the best player in the world has to explain why he did something on Instagram because of him. That's hilarious to me. But Kyrie is on another level right now, and I think it's great that he's assessing the situation and being like, okay, Hayward isn't there anymore. I gotta step up. And he is against the Lakers yesterday. It was all about Kyrie and the Celtics, not Lonzo Ball and the Lakers. And that's a huge credit to Kyrie. And I gotta say, if the playoffs started now, which they won't, the Celtics will be the number one candidate in the East.
And I think they will be even at the end of the year. That doesn't mean they're the best team in the East, but I think they'll be the one seed.
I got to see how Isaiah Thomas comes back for Cleveland.
That's true.
That's the main thing. Until then, I can't make a concise judgment on the East. But right now, the Celtics, they look really good. And they started 0-2. They reeled off 10 straight. And I got to say, they look impressive.
Martin Bader from ESPN Deportes is with us here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We always try to fix USA Soccer. It needs fixing right now. It's broken. No qualification for the World Cup. 4 years wasted. Are we any closer to finding a coach and fixing this thing?
Well, right now, the most important thing is promoting the youth. And there's a friendly against Portugal coming up in a couple of days. And almost everybody on the roster for the upcoming match against Cristiano Ronaldo, Portugal, and some of the best players in the world are 24 and under.
I like that.
I think that's great because we're thinking between now and 5 years from now.
They're going to be 29, 30
Pulisic,
by then. Yeah.
Pulisic is not on the roster, which I think is fine. He doesn't need to prove anything. Yeah. And what will we gain from seeing him in the friendlies coming up? But the youth movement and seeing what we have in MLS, I think that's a great idea. And then the coaching decision doesn't need to be made right now. What's important right now is to lick their wounds and maybe get something going starting now against Portugal with the younger players.
Why does the MLS, why can't they build a system? Maybe they can have like the NASL as like the official minor league, where it can be like Europe, where relegation can be a thing, right? Where the worst teams get dropped, but then the best teams, like if Miami FC could be bumped up to MLS, I think that'd be fantastic. Why do we not have something like that over here?
I absolutely agree with you. I think relegation should be a part of MLS. I think MLS should also become part of the Copa Libertadores, which is the South American championship, the second most important tournament in the world, only behind the Champions League. And that will elevate your league's level of play. But the relegation thing, it comes down to money. The owners pay a lot for franchises. You see Nashville trying to get an MLS franchise now, paying a fortune for it. Beckham didn't pay a fortune for Miami's franchise only because he had it in his contract as a player for the LA Galaxy.
Okay.
But the reality is, you pay hundreds of millions for your franchise and you want to make sure that it stays in the top flight. And besides, the American model with the NFL, the NBA, NHL doesn't lend itself to relegation. So the MLS doesn't think it's of itself as a worldwide kind of thing. It thinks of itself as an American league.
You know, I don't know if that's the right approach here, though, because I guess I can't speak for every MLS fan, but I would assume that the majority of MLS fans, they're soccer fans, and they probably have another team that they root for. Like most MLS fans, maybe they also root for Manchester United, or they also root for Real Madrid or Manchester City or Juventus. They have another team, and they're educated enough on the sport that they understand how that relegation works. I think it may be a little bit of a misassumption to assume that American fans wouldn't appreciate that kind of a model, because I think a lot of American soccer fans are also fans of European clubs.
Yes, but let's compare it, for example, to the NBA. If the Miami Heat, like in a way, they won 15 games and they would be relegated to the D-League, don't you think attendance will suffer?
Yes,
TV rights, television, you don't have a guarantee that you stay in the top tier. So how do TV rights work? Is it league-wide or team by team? So it comes down to money, simple as that, because as a sport, for the quality of the product, yes, you should absolutely have relegation and also give hope to cities like Cincinnati, some cities in the West Coast that also have the NASL or the USL, that could think, okay, not only are we playing in this lower-level league right now, but we have the hope of making it to the MLS. And you know that in the countries that do have relegation and promotion, the promotion to the top level is a moment of joy, unlike anything else.
It's usually like I look at this team that's in the Serie A this year. They're going to be back in Serie B next year. But Benevento, they had never been in Serie A before. They were promoted for the first time ever. They're getting their butts kicked by everybody. But I could see just the enjoyment for them being up a league for the first time ever.
And going to San Siro to play Inter or going to Turin to play Juventus. To them, it's an experience.
Yeah.
And also on the other side of the coin, relegation is nothing is more painful than relegation. Yeah. I can't imagine, like, To me, the closest thing that I have ever experienced to relegation was Argentina almost being out of the World Cup.
Right. Well, and now a lot of Americans are experiencing World Cup relegation.
Exactly. So to the audience, relegation is like the U.S. losing to Trinidad and Tobago. That painful.
Do you think they should make, like, you know how like the NCAA tournament, then you have the NIT? Should there be a World Cup NIT? Should there be a tournament for the teams that don't qualify for the World Cup?
No, they already want to expand it to 48 teams. That's already a joke.
We could get that rematch with Trinidad and Tobago in the NIT.
No, you work for 3 years to make it to the World Cup. If it comes down to the last match and you're out, it's on you. There shouldn't be any extra, like, pity consolations. We already have the playoff that's actually going on right now. Italy against Sweden tomorrow.
Yeah, tell me about that. How nervous should I be?
You should be pretty nervous because Sweden is like a pain in the butt.
I don't like these Swedes. I'm quarter Swedish, by the way, so I can say that.
And besides Zaza, the Valencia striker that's all the rage right now,
right?
He's injured and he doesn't know if he can play tomorrow. And him and Immobile will be a great pair and besides Valencia with Zaza this season is an offensive masterpiece. But without Zaza, you should be even more concerned. It's not going to be easy, but I think Italy pulls through in the end. Sweden is not going to make it a walk in the park, though. Croatia, 4-1 today with a goal by Modric. Impressive.
I always look at Croatia a little bit because Ivan Perisic from Inter and Marcelo Brozovic, a couple guys that I root for my club team play there.
You know what group I want to see in the World Cup? Brazil, Nigeria, Croatia, and Spain. What would you think about that group?
It's a group of death right there.
I would love to see that.
That is a group of death. Well, it means somebody's not getting out. A couple teams aren't getting out of there.
In fact, the whole Argentina squad, Messi and Mascherano, Agüero, everybody is saying, we don't want Spain in our group. Nobody wants Spain because they're in pot two. They are not in pot one. So it's going to be very interesting when Spain gets there, England, Italy is also going to be in pot two. There could be multiple groups of death in Russia next year because Russia, Poland, and Belgium are going to be in pot one. So that's going to be really interesting.
You know, I will ask you a special question because our producer tonight, Tito, he's a huge Manchester City fan, and his team is off to a torrid start. Are they as invincible as they look so far?
You know, Tito told me he's going to wake up at 8 a.m. on Saturday to watch Agüero and Argentina play against Russia.
I woke up at 6:30 last week to watch Inter in a draw with Torino. I was very disappointed.
I know,
very
that's dedication right there. But yeah. Manchester City, 10 wins, 1 draw, no losses. Up top in the Premier League, 38 goals and only 7 against them.
Oh, wow. That's
fantastic. A goal differential.
Jeez,
and Agüero
great.
With the record, you got to feel good for him. And you got to think the Premier League is a battle of Manchester right now. Manchester City and Manchester United. But Manchester City looks invincible right now. And we are almost a third of the way through the Premier League schedule. It's going to be interesting how they finish the year. But there's no question that playing like this, not only can they win the Premier League, but they can do so with a cushion to spare.
Gee, you made Tito a very happy man. You've made Tito very. How about me? Can you make me happy? Is my team finally going to get that Scudetto and a Championship League spot or Champions League spot?
We talked about it last week. Champions League first, Scudetto
second.
That's
right. You got to be in the top five to be in the Champions League. Oh, top four? I thought they added a fifth spot for City.
As far as I'm concerned, no. Everybody gets four.
Well, now I'm nervous.
But, no, you shouldn't be nervous. It's a matter of, like, to be a little coach speaky, every week you got to get better.
That's right.
And then when you do things right, you're going to find yourself in a position to contend in 2018. Otherwise, if you think too far ahead, then you're going to trip over yourself. And you don't lose the Scudetto against the big teams like Juventus, Napoli, or Roma. You lose it against the smaller teams that you overlook. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you draw away at Benevento and you left 2 points that are going to be huge in the future.
Man, we need more games against Benevento, I'll tell you that much. Martin Bader, ESPN Deportes, does a fantastic job. Who's winning, Miami or Notre Dame this weekend?
I am looking forward to this Saturday pregame show by
who's,
you.
Who's winning? Right? Don't dodge the question. Who wins?
I am going to say Notre Dame 31, Miami 27. I'm sorry, but look, they racked up 700 yards of offense last week. They look awesome.
They do.
And to me...
But they gave up a lot of points last week to Notre
they
Dame.
They did give up a lot of points, but... Miami isn't built to get into a shootout. It's about the defense. It's about the turnover chain. And I really think that Notre Dame is ready to take a step into the playoff, and Miami is ready to win the Coastal. The playoff is not in their horizon right now, at least up to me.
Until this week. Until I was feeling the same way a couple weeks ago, but now it's within
look,
my sights.
Look, if they win this week, I would not be surprised if they're in the top four. They will highly deserve it. And it will show me that Malik Rozier and that defense are for real.
Yeah.
And I would love to see UM against Alabama or Georgia in
Boom.
The playoff.
Yes,
but
all right.
UM 27, Notre Dame 31, it's going to be a party. That's for sure.
Well, it is going to be a party. I say UM 45, Notre Dame 3. I'll be nice.
Oh, wow. Very objective.
I know that it's a stretch for me to think Notre Dame scores any points in the game, but I will give them 3.
Is the turnover chain coming?
Oh, 4 times at least.
Turnover chain is coming out. That's optimistic.
Turnover chain is coming out, baby. Follow him on Twitter at MartinBaderSP. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No, thank you, Alex.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.